Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and as soon as I get organized here, we'll start this show. We're here at the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center, and busy day this morning. We've had over 70 works, 70-some-odd works this morning.
The accurate? Writing down those numbers?
Yeah. I don't know how accurate the times are, but the numbers. You'll have to ask Ashley out there. She was helping me.
Oh, okay. Then I'm sure they're exactly right.
Bunch of winners out of here since we talked to you all last Saturday. Let's see. We've had 33 winners from the training center this month, 13 in the last week, and they were trained by, shall we start with it, two by Bobby Sturgeon, and then Scooter Hughes. It'll be B.G. Scooter Hughes. Took Rahe Strada down to Colonial Downs and won the $500,000 Colonial Turf Cup Stakes. Let's see, Helmut Jackson settled the winner, John Booker, Jimmy Cargan, Scooter Hughes again, John Booker again, Jimmy Cargan again. Hey, those guys are kind of monopolizing things there. Tommy Short, Oscar Modica, Tom Bergen last night, and Wayne Mogie last night, both those at Indiana Downs. And what are we going to do this? Let me look at my notes so I know what the hell I'm going to do this week.
Here, let me help you.
Oh, thank you, Michael. We've got, in the second hour, Eric Buckner's coming on. He is the manager of three...
Buckley.
Yeah, that's right, Buckley. Hell, that's close enough. Eric. I've known him since he was a kid. So maybe he grew up to be a Lee. Okay. Anyway, he manages three main farm for his parents. And, of course, he is the grandson of Carter Thornton. And he's the breeder, also the horse that won a Grade Two Norfolk Stakes out at Royal Ascot last week. It was Dr. Doug Beyer, Michael Blown will be on, and Bert Kessinger's with us this morning. He has Wines on Vine, which I assume is on Vine.
It's a fabulous place.
Okay. Steve Moody.
The wine's too expensive for you. It doesn't come in a bag.
Doesn't it?
It comes in bottles.
I like
corks.
The ones in the little boxes, you know.
Yeah, okay. None of that, no. This is good wine.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Roundtable if we have time. We'll read something from Joe Palmer. And Bert, you're doing something for Michael here, and that's the reason you're sitting here today, I reckon. Come in to talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're going to have a charity event Monday night down at Wines on Vine for Michael and an old friend's farm, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a wine tasting, cheese tasting, beer tasting, all of my distributors. And
how much of that beer are we allowed to taste?
Well, we can have a little fun. We got a great band that's going to be there. The Big Maracas are going to be there. There's going to be all kinds of silent auction, and there's going to be raffles and... But the band is really good, and the cause is really, really good. Yeah. What we're going to try and do is raise money for the old friends and the disabled jockeys. Both of those charities are what we're going to give the money to.
Well, that means Chris McCarron's going to be there, and Michael Blowen's going to be there. All these big-time celebrities.
Oh, Patty Cooksey's going to be there, too.
Great. Finally, we've got one.
One Hall of Famer and one Hall of Shamer.
Very nice.
And you figure out which it is.
Yeah, really. I know which one's which.
That's this coming Monday, starting when?
Starting at 5:30, going to 8:30. The silent auction will go from 5:30 to 7:00. And all it is a $10 donation. Mm-hmm. You're going to get to try a box.
And that's deductible.
Yeah. And you're going to get to try all different kinds of wines, listen to the band, enjoy just all the friendship that we're going to have down there. A lot of nice people. We have so many nice customers that come, and we've got a lot of people that put a lot of work into getting this event going, and I'd like to thank all of them because they've really done a good job.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your items on your silent auction there, Bert?
Well, two of them I know will go pretty good because one of them is a ticket for four lower arena tickets with a $100 dinner at Wines on Vine for a basketball game.
Ooh,
UK.
Wow, nice. Wow.
Another one put out by Wad Jones is limousine to the game and away from the game for two lower arena tickets.
How's Wad doing?
Wad's doing great. Well, his golf game's getting too good, though. I'm going to have to work on that. We're going to have to psych him out somehow.
You never could psych him out when he was playing for UK, could you?
No.
No.
But we've got a nice dinner with Patty Ann and Chris and myself for six. A wine dinner that's going to be on there. There's a day at Keeneland in the morning and then the afternoon at the clubhouse box. There's all kinds of really nice items. There's some serious wines that are going to be for silent auction also.
Yeah. Really nice. Nothing in a box.
Well, there might be something in a box for you.
We'll pour it in a box, make you feel better.
Yeah, we can pour it in a box and then come out and you just really won't believe how good it is.
Good old Mogan David. Right. Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
Hoping for a big turnout.
Yeah. And, of course, Michael is going to be there.
We're extremely grateful for all this. I mean, it's great that, you know, Wines on Vines doing something for the athletes of the sport, the jockeys and the horses, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Bert, I met Bert, I guess, been 10, 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
Right out here.
Yep. I've been kind of like on the circuit for a long time, going to Saratoga and Churchill and coming into Keeneland for 2 weeks a year, and now it's kind of, I finally started winding down a little bit and moved out here for a few years. It was great time out here. Had some nice horses out here, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Burke had one of our horses. He trained Stage Colony.
Oh, did you now? Mm-hmm. What'd you
for
win
the Houdons.
Yeah, what'd you win with him?
Gosh, believe it or not, it was a stakes, I believe, at Hialeah.
Yeah.
Back when Hialeah was.
At Hialeah.
And he won the Keeneland out here for me. He was a nice horse.
Is that Ed Houdon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's still got horses. He bought a farm here now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Sierra Farm.
Huh?
Sierra Farm.
Is that the name of his place? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, Jimmy Cargan trains farm here.
Okay.
Yeah, you know Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many Irishmen we have out here. Yeah. You were up there in the big old barn.
Yeah, when I was here, I had, Patella was here, Mingling Glances was here, both of them won stakes at Keeneland. So it was a lot of fun here. That big barn's a nice, it's as nice a barn as you can be in anywhere in the country.
That's one of the original barns that was here when H.P. Putney had it, you know. That one in barn, what's now barn 28.
Oh, the stalls in there are just fantastic.
Yeah, they're good.
It's a beautiful barn.
Yeah. The Spencers remodeled it quite a bit when they had this place, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. You're native Kentucky?
Right here in Lexington.
Well, that's about as native as you can get.
Matter of fact, when people ask me at the store, where are you from? I tell them I was born two blocks up the street.
Right. So you haven't drifted far away from
me. I haven't drifted very far at all.
Yeah, no. That's wonderful.
He hasn't drifted geographically.
Yeah. Geographically.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now the location is it's on Vine Street, and if you can't go but one way on Vine, and you pass Rosemont, Rose Street, and then take bear to your right.
It's Old Vine Street. Yeah. You can get to it from Vine Street. You take Old Vine Street, or you can get from South Ashland Avenue if you're on it.
Yeah.
You turn left onto Central, or turn right, whichever way you're coming from.
Yeah, okay, it's easy to find. I don't know who was in that building originally. It was a guy named Taylor Tyre, and Bert remembered him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Taylor, that goes way back.
That'll date you a little bit.
I don't need that. They've already leaked my age over the air.
Ursel's already gone way past his expiration date.
I know. Statistically, I should have been dead 10 years ago, as a matter of fact. Oh, well. Listen, I got to take a little break. We'll get back with you guys. Well, take care. I'm wearing my Claiborne hat this morning, so I'll take care of them first. Is that right?
I like the way you alternate the hats.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, Arch is the sire of champions in four different countries. He's the sire of Blame, winner of the 2010 Eclipse Award for champion older male. The only horse to defeat Zenyatta. He's the sire of 2011 Grade 1 Stakes winner Arch, Arch, Arch. He's the sire of six Grade 1 stakes winners and a graded stakes winners in the USA and Canada, and England, Ireland, Hong Kong, South Africa, and of some 65 stakes horses to date. In 2010, Art sired the earners of nearly $6 million to rank among the nation's leading sires. Grade 1 stakes winner Arch, by Chris S., out of the stakes winner and multiple grade one producer Aurora by the Great Danzig, is a major source of classic stamina. So for a chance at the classics, watch for yearlings by Arch at the major sales this year. For more information about Arch, his champion son Blame, and the Claiborne Farm Stallions, just get in touch with Bernie Sams. The number there is 233-4252. That's the Lexington number for Paris, of course, Claiborne. And see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Don't hear anything, you're done.
Well, June 18th at the Lone Star Fast Resource, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by Bob and John broke her maiden in impressive fashion, making her first start and breaking from post position 9 in a field of 12. Fast Resource wired the field to, as the quoting the official chart here, it says, win is much the best. The race was a maiden special, and Fast Resource looked like a filly with a future. Bob and John was an excellent grade 1 performer as a 2-year-old, but he really came into his own at 3, taking the grade 1 Wood and the grade 3 Sham Stakes. Then he came back at 4 to win the grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap. Retired with earnings of over $996,000, Bob and John is by seeking the goal out of the graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister. So watch for his second crop yearlings at the sales this year, starting with the phase he tipped in July sale. He stands at Pinoak Stud with the stallions Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic, and queers to Clifford Berry at Pinoak, and see the website at PinoakStud.com. All righty, I'm talking to Bert Kessinger and Michael Blowen, and doing the break there, we were talking about Sally Vans a little bit.
They've just been great to us. They moved a horse for us. Actually, he's the first resident of Old Friends. He's not a thoroughbred. He's a Holsteiner. His name is Carlson Von Dock, and he won a gold medal in the Olympics in Beijing as a jumper.
This is the first one that's not a thoroughbred?
Yes.
Well, what about Little Silver Charm?
Well, he doesn't really count too much. Except, you know, he's a miniature horse, and we think he's a miniature horse. We're not sure his breed. He could be anything. Could be a miniature horse, could be a little Shetland, could be a little this, a little that. I don't even want to imagine what transpired between his parents.
Now,
he's a mess.
Kind of like most of us, huh?
Really?
Right. What's this horse's name again?
Carlson Von Dock.
Carlson.
The only person who knows what it means is Bill Vandendoel, because he's from Holland.
Yeah.
But he's a really nice horse, and I think it's going to open us up to a... And I should also... I have to thank Sally Vans, because in the middle of moving all those horses from Churchill Downs and doing all that, they moved this horse for us. And he's over at Summerwind Farm, so he's going to be staying there for a little while in a transition until we find a good spot for him over at Old Friends. So, you know, the people at Summerwind have been just so great.
Yeah. Well, Sally went down and moved all those horses that they took out of the, after the, whatever it was, if it was a tornado or whatever, you know, and they moved them over to the sports spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
Yeah. Some of those barns needed tearing down, didn't they?
There's a couple of them. You don't call the fire department.
That's why they didn't know it was a tornado at first. Yeah. Could have been a brisk breeze.
Yeah, it was...
I have to thank my friend Chris McCarron, too, because our bush hog broke down. You remember my pleas last week for the bush hog. Well, he had one for sale that was sitting on the corner of 460 and Newtown Pike at Brass Lantern Farm.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him that it was being left out in the rain and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so I told him, anyway, for some reason, he decided to be extremely generous and let us have his bush hog for a little while.
Boy, cons his way into everything,
but doesn't he? Boy, our paddocks look a lot better. They look a lot better. Well, yeah. I'll buy him a free beer over at Burke's.
Well, Jim Fitzgerald came in and mowed my farm for me. So
he did? What's his number?
I'm sorry, Jim. Jeez, I won't bring it up again.
You have a cell phone? You used to have a private line?
Oh, I'm sorry,
Jim. I love Jim Fitzgerald.
Bert, you never know what's going to happen on this show. But
I listen every week. It's usually pretty strange.
Tell me about it. Especially when this was around.
Speaking of strange, I got an email from a guy in California that suggested, and I should have brought the email here because you would have gotten a kick out of it. He was suggesting that they should take the articles that were written about old friends and you should read them and put them on a CD and we could sell the CD. I'll show you the email.
Moving right along.
I'll show you the email. And I thought that was a wonderful idea.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but I got the email.
From where?
I think he's willing to pay. I think he'll hire you to do it.
Oh, well, now that's different. No, if it... No, what? All the articles, huh?
Not all of them. But, well, you know, yeah. Some are a little redundant, some are wrong. So we'll try to eliminate that.
Yeah. Well, I'll do whatever.
The ones that say good things about me are a little off, but the other ones are pretty good when they talk about the horses.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Bert, you miss training?
I miss the horses, and I miss some of the nice people. But I'm enjoying my children, my grandchildren, and so the not having to rush around, it's kind of nice. But still, I work pretty hard. I work 6 days a week now instead of seven.
Yeah. You have a restaurant there, too.
Restaurant. We're open lunch and dinner 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday.
See, I thought, it was just a wine shop, and then I hear you got beer. That moves you up. And then...
you even have a little bit of vodka and whiskey back in there, too.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah. Is that your private catch, or do you sell it?
No, we sell it. We sell
it. Okay.
We have the run the full gamut of everything.
Well, I kind of weaned myself all that a long time ago.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, are you? I just I sip a little wine every now and then when Jackie is makes me.
For your heart.
Yeah, that's it.
It's all medicinal.
It's got to be a red, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You've been over there, Doc?
Nope, have not.
Well,
I need to go.
You're going Monday, that's for sure.
Well, we'll put it on our schedule. Make sure Susan gets me over there.
You got to clear it with Susan?
I need a designated driver. I need a designated driver.
Well, hell, maybe she wants to have some. You be the designated driver.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Not unless they're serving margaritas.
Not okay.
That's her favorite.
Well, Bert, tell me one more time about when this is happening, and we'll let
Monday,
you go.
This Monday, 5:30 to 8:30 at 400 Ovine Street, Wines on Vine. It's for a great charity. Hope to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen from the thoroughbred business. And I think it's going to be a great time. And I hope we raise a whole lot of money for the old friends and for the disabled jockeys.
It's just $10, and it's deductible. It doesn't get any better than that. You just get to drink all the beer you want to.
Well, I don't know if you get to drink all you want to. But you'll have a good time.
I was going
to
say, you're going to be in a hole with me.
Well, Bert will be there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
Good to see you, Bert. I hadn't seen you for a while. Doc, what's going on with you?
Well, we're going to, for this morning, we're just going to wing it because I brought you a little packet there.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can pop that open.
All right.
And I went over to the Horse Council office and got... some of their what they call vitals kits, which we can't get the kit open. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
Uh-oh, loose horse.
Yeah.
If you hear a siren, folks, that's what that means. Won't be the first today. What's in it now?
Well, this kit is basically a guide to taking your horse's pulse, respiration, and temperature,
and
what it means,
and everything.
So we've got a chart that goes in the barn, and it's laminated so it can get wet. And it shows some pictures of where you listen with the stethoscope.
Very interesting.
And then on the stethoscope itself, and there's a thermometer in there, a digital thermometer. But the stethoscope itself has got a tab on it where we've put the...
Can you open it?
Yeah, get it open here. But there's a tag that has zones on it. So you take your horse's temperature, pulse, and respiration, and you, well, the stethoscope applies to the pulse and respiration, but you take that, and then this tag has a green zone that says you're okay, and then you got a caution yellow zone that says that you might want to watch this guy pretty closely or call someone, and then you got a red zone that tells you when you're in trouble. So, and, you know, you need to definitely get help if you got that. So if we took a foal that we were treating for pneumonia, and he's been flaring his nostrils for a while, but he's doing okay, and he's under treatment, and his respiratory rate is 28. We'd like to see it be 16 or so. But let's say it's elevated. But now you come in one day and respiratory rate is 36 to 40, and you listen to a stethoscope, and he's got a heart rate of 100. Well, he's getting worse because he doesn't have enough oxygen going through his lungs to provide for his blood, so he doesn't have oxygen exchange. So he's in trouble, and so that would help you say, you know, he's been sick like this for a while, but that heart rate of 100 tells me he's gone into a different zone of problems. So, again, the tag on the stethoscope is meant to be right there with that stethoscope. So you can
take it off. No, yeah.
So you can look at it and get the numbers that are a good clinical guide.
And Jack, then, you'll probably use it on me.
Yeah, she won't hear anything. So anyway, you've got that guide there, and then you've got the chart, and you can go get an idea from the chart, lungs, and of course now you've got a fold of what we call cardiopulmonary decompensation, not getting enough oxygen, so the heart's got to go faster to make up for that oxygenation. So that tells you that fold is sicker than he may generally appear, and a lot of pneumonia foals might, they're nursing them air, they're pretty happy. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't know unless you really went there. Now, as far as this is not designed to have anybody think that they're going to practice medicine, but it's a design to help the veterinarian to, you know, he gets a phone call 9 o'clock at night, he or she gets a phone call 9 o'clock at night, and that same pneumonia foal just looks a little bit depressed, and so you say the heart rate on the foal is 60 and the respiratory rate is 28 and the membranes are pink. It talks about how to look mm-hmm. at membranes and things like that. So the veterinarian says, well, I'll run out there in the morning if you're still concerned, but it doesn't, we don't really sound like we have an emergency to deal with.
Right.
But it gives you that information. The kit, if for anybody that wants them, and they're designed to go in every barn, and educationally, a lot of the farm managers might say, well, I don't need that. I know everything anyway. But it's really designed for pony clubbers and youth and people that,
ignoramuses like me.
Well, you know, there's a learning curve for all of us. That's why I always say veterinary medicine.
I'm at the bottom of mine, Doc.
But for veterinarians, it's called practice.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a dynamic process. The kit can be purchased from the Kentucky Horse Council. It's $30, and it includes all the educational material. It includes the stethoscope, and it's a pretty decent stethoscope.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
And your thermometer. And thermometer.
Where's the thermometer?
Exactly. Thermometer is in here still.
Oh, okay.
And the thermometer has a beep to it.
Oh, that is fancy.
So it beeps at 15-second intervals. So
put it under his tongue.
Yeah, right.
No, I hate to tell you, I got one of those old ones with a piece of string tied to it.
I tracked a horse once with the thermometer still that wasn't any fun.
Probably could have heard him whistle as he went by.
Yeah, right.
Well, the thermometer, by beeping at 15 seconds, you know, when you take a heart rate, you listen for 15 seconds, count the beats, and then multiply by 4, and that gives you the heart rate per minute. So if you're listening, you got 6 beats in, or not 6 beats, but if you had 10 beats in 15 seconds, then you know he's got a heart rate of 40. So when the beep goes off, you know, you've got a timer
right
that tells you when to quit counting,
yeah,
and then to start multiplying. So
that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a plastic thermometer. It goes under their tongue, and they can't bite it off.
We're exaggerating a little bit here now.
Just saying. I don't think anybody would do that.
And when you take the respiratory rate, that's tougher in a horse. You take a horse that's at rest, you can't hardly see him breathe. So one of the ways that you can take a respiratory rate is wet your hands. Sometimes you spit on your hands.
What
else? Put them in front of the nose and the humidity. You can feel the humidity.
Oh, funny.
Just put it in front of one nose, one nostril, and then take that, multiply it by 4. But again, you're not taking their temperature at that time, but the beat goes off and it tells you when. So if you've got 2,
right,
there's only been 2 breaths, then you've got a respiratory rate of 8.
Right.
You know? So it really helps the interpretation. And again, there's some information on the
that's great. That I love tag, the wall thing.
Yeah.
That little tag has the, I noticed, had the norms to
right,
the,
right.
Yeah,
the different individuals.
Right. And the tag has got your green, which is norm, and your yellow, which is something yeah going on, and red, which is...
It's a great idea.
Well, again, it's designed to be in the barn, and it's something designed to be an assist to your veterinarian, and also you can use stethoscope. There are descriptions on listening to the bowel. So we got a horse, let's say, he's in the stall. He didn't eat up. He just doesn't want to eat. His membranes are pink. His heart rate is 36. His respiratory rate is 8.
Wait a minute, I got to cheat here and look at this.
Well,
thing.
But you don't know what's...
If it's an adult horse, 36 yeah is pretty normal.
Yeah, so you don't know what's bugging him, and his temperature is 99.2, so his vitals are normal. We don't really sound like we have an emergency, but he didn't eat. So you listen to his abdomen, and you hear the gurgling, or you don't hear a thing.
And
when you don't have that, you'd say, well, this horse could have an impaction, or he could have something, and we're going to take just out and hand walk him, and we're going to take his vitals again in half hour, 45 minutes, see if he has a bowel movement. And we're going to let our veterinarian know that we're just looking at him. And I think 99% of the time they say, well, just do this. And maybe the veterinarian say, well, I think you might want to give him a little Banamine. But everybody's on alert. Everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
So that,
right. Like I love said, Banamine.
Horses are the deaf mutes in this game, so
yeah,
we need all the tools we can get to.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Well, listen, this is, we've greatly approved. You giving this to us?
I'm giving you that. And again, they're $30 from the Kentucky Horse Council.
Yeah, well worth
over
it.
On yeah Newtown Pike, and it's a pretty good kit.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
I think I'll call my pony club friends about this, because this is perfect. They could tack it up in the tack room. You know, when those kids go places, their tack room's inspected and their medicine's inspected, everything.
Right.
This would be great.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Doc.
All right.
We appreciate it. This is very good. Kitten everything. Kitten caboodle. Yeah. Well, the first foals by First Defense are yearlings, and 2 have been in catalog for the upcoming Phasic Tipton July sales. There are also 3 in the sale by Mizzen Mass. One of the best-bred young sire prospects in the world, First Defense, was a brilliant sprinter with a classic pedigree. He won the Grade 1 4-gold, the Grade 3 Jiper, and the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes, top allowance races at Belmont and Churchill Downs, broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths as a 2-year-old at Belmont. He sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-4 at Belmont Park, and won 22-1 at Churchill Downs, and won 22-2 at Saratoga. By leading sire and bridal song, First Defense is out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to the top sire's Empire Maker in Chester House, out of the Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. Mizzen Mass is a known quantity, a Grade 1 stakes winner and a sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Like their sire, the Mizzen Mass win sprinting, win going long, win on dirt, win on grass, win on artificial. The key word here is win. Both the first defense and Ms. Mast and at Judgemont Farm. Inquiries to Gary DeWork or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judgemontfarm.com. Well, it was another good week for associates of McCauley Brothers. The grade one Vanity at Hollywood Park was won by Eclipse Award winner Blind Luck, bred by Dr. William A. Baker over at his Fairlawn farm. The Tsunami Slew Stakes, also at Hollywood Park, went to Midnight Interlude, who was raised at Don Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm for Arnold Zetcher. J.P.'s Gusto, winner of the $400,000 Red Legend Stakes, was bred by Windstar Farm. The Unbridled Stakes at Calder went to Indiano, bred by the Diamond A Stable. And She Be Classy, winner of the John W. Rooney Memorial at Delaware Park, was bred by Mike and Nancy Mazzoni. The Mazzonis, incidentally, are also the breeders of Breeders' Cup winner She Be Wild. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the only feed mill in Kentucky producing products exclusively for the horse. To join the winning team, call McCauley's, 873-3333. Ask for Steve Baker or Mike Warren. And, of course, you're always welcome to visit the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, June 14 at Indiana Downs, Wind Energy, a three-year-old filly in the first crop by Unbridled Energy, won a maiden special by an eye-popping 9 lengths. Then, just a couple of days later in Canada, La Taomi, a two-year-old colt by Unbridled Energy, opened up an 8-length lead and then coasted to a 3.25-length win and a maiden special. They're winning wherever they're asked to run, and they're winning at major tracks like Churchill and Woodbine and the Fairgrounds and Laurel, Parks, Hawthorne, Turfway, Calder, Golden Gate, Tampa Bay. Two have won stakes, the third stakes placed. Unbridled Energy is passing on his versatility. He won grade two stakes at Santa Anita, grade three stakes at Woodbine, won a top allowance race at Gulfstream Park, won his only start as a two-year-old, and he ran second in the grade three stakes at Churchill Downs. He's by the top sire and bridal song, out of a stakes-winning mare from a running family, and you'll have the opportunity to buy an Unbridled Energy yearling at the major sales this year. Look him over. Odds are you're looking at a runner. He stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
All righty.
What are you doing over there, Jackie?
Putting together my directions on how to do what Ressie does, should I be ever called to the
engineer
out of necessity. Well, it'd be total
You had a track man and a farm manager helping you last week.
Yeah, it might be sometime. Might be by myself. That leaves us at a zero, doesn't it?
Well, if you count me, it sure does.
I mean, the track man's Harold's a genius.
He's on vacation.
He builds equipment. He builds stuff from scratch. I mean, with metal and electric and stuff like that. Good Lord, he's really smart.
Yeah, he is. He's good. That was a nice article in the Thoroughbred Times last week. Not the one day, the one dated last Saturday.
Yeah, out here.
About the Thoroughbred Center. And, yeah, it was a good, very good
article. I
hate
to keep saying what a genius he is, because somebody was talking about stealing.
He might be listening.
Oh, not if he's on vacation, sure.
Well, that's right. He was going somewhere this week. Okay, this is the compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, my good friend David Schweitzer, and these Kentucky Breds won stakes last week. A couple of them won it during the week.
You know, you got in trouble suggesting that would be what you would do for them, listing the Kentucky Breds at one stakes. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, well,
my God, you got 2 pages.
I got 2 pages of these suckers. Anyway, but, it might even out in the wintertime when there's not as many stakes races.
There you are.
Yeah. Well, here we go. The grade one Vanity at Hollywood went to Blind Luck, bred by Fairlawn Farm. The grade one Ogden Phipps Handicap at Belmont. Awesome Marie was bred by E. Paul Robsham. The Pegasus Grade 3 at Monmouth, Pants on Fire, bred by the K&G Stables. Up at Churchill, the Grade 3 Matt Wynn went to SCOTUS, bred by Mike Rutherford Sr. The Regret, also at Churchill, went to Busy Caroline, bred by Runnymede Farm and Catesby Clay. That's one and the same, I would think. The Grade 3 Jefferson Cup Stakes at Churchill went to Ban, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade 3 Edward P. Evans, All Along Stakes, it was, Where was that run? Grade 3, Edward P. Evans, all along. Oh, that had to have been Maryland. Aruma won that, bred by Flaxman Holdings. Let's see, I got some group stakes back here in the back, I think. I checked foreign stakes last. Yeah, the Group 2 Hardwick Stakes, Royal Ascot, went to Await the Dawn by Giants Causeway, bred by Judmont Farm. The Group 2 Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot went to a two-year-old and bred by Eric Buckley,
your guest,
Mr. Varney and Mr. O'Donnell. And Eric's going to be on the show with me, and he's going to have to tell me how to pronounce this horse's name. It's B-A-P-A-K, Bapak Chinta. Bapak Chinta? Eric, I need help. Anyway, it's by Sprightstown. I didn't say that. And let's see, the Grade 3 Centenary Stakes at Royal Ascot went to Pisco Sour, bred by Hascom Stud.
You're having all kind of luck.
Yeah, folding Kentucky, though. Then the $500,000 Colonel Turf Cup went to Rahi Strada, bred by Robert E. Courtney, Jr., trained by Scooter Hughes right here at the Thoroughbred Center. That horse has won $823,000 now.
That'll do.
The $400,000 Red Legend Stakes went to J.P.'s Gusto, bred by Windstar Farm. The $200,000 Olivar Stakes at Indiana Downs, a little bit of fun, bred by Jim Conway down at Versailles. The Desert Stormer Stakes at Hollywood, Irish Gypsy, bred by Mr. and Ms. Jerry Moss. The John W. Rooney Memorial at Delaware went to She Be Classy, bred by Michael and Nancy Mazzoni. And what's the name of their farm over? Lost Creek Farm, over on Russell K. Road. The Lady Charleston Stakes went to Grand Kisses, bred by Herman Heinlein. The Opening Verse Stakes at Churchill. Tour Allure, bred by the 4D Stables. The Tsunami Slough at Hollywood Park. Midnight Interlude, bred by Arnold Zetcher. The Miss Royal Stakes at Belmont. Roman Treasure, bred by Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds. The Floor Show Stakes at Delaware. I get my tongue tangled today. The Floor Show Stakes at Delaware went to Lion Chains, bred by Castleton Lions and the Kilboy Estate. The Cool Air Stakes at Calder, A Fleet Lass, bred by Nita Brooks. The DeHaul Stakes at Colonial Downs went to Following Footsteps. That's another Giant's Causeway. This one bred by Kathleen and Schoenfeld. There.
How about that? That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm out of breath.
Okay. TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, they are having a Member of the Month kind of an award. And for June, it was Nicole Hammond. She has owns and operates December Farm here in Central Kentucky. Congratulations to her. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption, which is horseadoption.com if you want to find out, is wonderful. They have a place, let's see, I think they have one in Tennessee, they have one in Ohio, may have one in Indiana, I'm not sure, and then they have one here in Central Kentucky. Lisa Malloy runs that one. It's brilliant. They take horses off the track and they get on them. Our filly that wasn't going to make a racehorse went there, and she was there 2 or 3 days, and she was on Ridener. Found her home, what, about a month?
Yeah.
She's got her own 15-year-old little girl in Michigan. She's jumping. I mean, it's wonderful. It's not turn them out for a year and all that kind of stuff. They're, of course, she was sound. And they know how sound they are and whatever. But anyway, they have a big horse show up in Ohio, Delaware County Fairgrounds in Delaware, Ohio. All this business, a charity horse show. And they have special classes for their graduates. It's just a terrific operation. If you want to be a part of it or you want to maybe sponsor a class or something like that, it's real easy. Horseadoption.com, or you can Google New Vocations Horse Adoptions.
Well, DeHare was retired late in the 2008 breeding season from a small test crop. He's represented by just 6 2-year-olds of 2011. Now, that was enough to demonstrate that DeHare is going to sire runners. His first starter was Gypsy Rose, and she won a $50,000 maiden special at Keeneland. Not only did she win by 7.5 lengths, but she set a new track record in the process. Her connections are so high on her that she was sent to Great Britain, and last week she made her second start. That was at Royal Ascot in a Group 2 Stakes, and she ran very well, just got beat 4 lengths for all the money in her first start on grass after a pretty long trip, too, I should say. This year, there will be many more opportunities to purchase a yearling by Daher. When you see one walk into the sales ring, remember Gypsy Rose. And remember that Daher ran a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, and 1:34.1 to take the Grade 2 Jerome. And that he's a full brother to the Grade 1 stakes winner Spun Sugar by Awesome Again out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry. Described as freaky fast by Steve Haskin. Daher stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquires to stallion manager Kent Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Oh, Quill and Leather and Tack. Of course, that's QUILLIN.com. Ralph Quillen's wonderful tack and leather shop over in Paris, Kentucky. You ought to go in and visit. It's great to visit, or you can look at it online. The hours are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 to noon. He always has specials. Big special now is if you order a belt or a checkbook cover, you get a free key tag with your name, same name plate, same brand, good-looking brass name plates on both. So the checkbook covers are great. I have one. I've had one for a long time. They wear well. They're good looking. They also, of course, sell a gazillion halters a year. So they're beautifully made. Wayne downstairs can fix any kind of leather. You look like your daddy. Our Eric Buckley's here. Gee whiz, I haven't seen you since you're in the fifth grade. You were a little guy, and now look at, how tall are you?
I'm
6'5". 6'5", my goodness. Whew, have to duck. If he goes into Quill and Leather and Tack, he'll have to duck under the door. Anyway, stop over and see Ralph. If it's the third light, if you go straight into Paris, look over on the corner. It's across from Ken's supermarket, or give them a call, 987, locally, 987-0215, or go to www.quillen.com.
Well, this just might be a good year to buy a yearling by Spring at Last. That's because he was bred to over 200 mares in his first 2 years at stud, and that he's sighing really top-class individuals. Breeders like what they saw in those first foals, and they just kept coming back to him. And it doesn't hurt that Spring at Last stands at a farm noted for developing successful sires, Windstar Farm. Nor does it hurt that Spring at Last has all the prerequisites for success at stud. He won Grade 1 stakes in over $1,139,000. He was a graded performer every year he raced. He was versatile, winning on the dirt, winning on the grass. He ventured abroad to win the Group 2 Godolphin Mile. In fact, he was never defeated in at that distance. He's one of some 84 stakes winners by Silver Deputy, a son of champion sire Deputy Minister. And Silver Deputies is our pool's play, recent winner of the Grade 1, Stephen Foster Churchill. He's one of three graded stakes winners, two Grade 1 winners, out of a daughter of Dinah, former. And best of all, he's siring superior individuals out of quality mares. Spring at Last at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robin Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Yeah, can you wait a minute, Eric? You're not in a hurry.
Listen to some baloney.
Yeah.
I found this. This is real interesting. You may know about it. I don't know. The NTRA, if you go to the NTRA website, okay, I got this as an email. They have what they call night school. One night a week, Steve and Chris, Bob Neumeyer, and Mike Battaglia get on the NTRA website. And they have what they call night school, and it's about betting and racing and everything you want to know. Who knew? Who knew?
Those guys know how to lose money.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to join right in. But this week, it's the guest instructor is Stephen Crist. Well, this is last week. It'll be next week again. This is amazing. 90-minute program. You get a panel discussion on this was Pick Six Strategies, a 30-minute question and answer, and you can log on and ask them questions and la, la, la. I just crack me up. It's somehow, I don't know how all this Internet stuff works, but this is really interesting. Sponsors are the NTRA, the Racing Form, Quarter Horse Association, and Keeneland. Who knew it existed? So anyway, if you want more information about this night school fan education forum, go to the NTRA.com.
Very good.
I might. You think I might go to that and see if I ever figure out how to do one of those 10-cent superfectas. I never did figure that one out. Oh,
you like the sounds of that 10 cent.
10 cents, that's my speed right there.
El Cheapo.
El Cheapo, that's me. Okay, the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. Oh, listen up. Horse of the week. It's a quarter horse. It's a black and white paint quarter horse, 13-year-old mare. She's 15 hands. She's a two-seater, and she looks real sweet. She's beautiful, sound, progressing wonderfully with her natural horsemanship training. She has wonderful ground manners, stands well for the ferry and the vet, loves attention. She has a lot of spirit, but they don't think, a lot of potential, but they don't think she's ever been ridden. So they're going to.
Potential to do what?
I don't know. I bet she was a broodmare.
A quarter horse
paint, 13-year-old. But she's real cute, very flashy for you paint lovers out there. So you can get a hold of the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. The best thing to do is Google Kentucky Equine Humane Center. I have an announcement about Sally Vans. They are now the official United States Equestrian Federation's first official horse transportation provider. How about that?
That's pretty cool. Well, who else would they pick?
Well, true. But anyway, they're at the USEF's at the horse park, and they do a lot of stuff. But that's pretty neat, seeing as how Sally was busting it to get over there after the tornado at Churchill Downs.
Yeah,
move
those
people.
Horses up there for nothing, and gee whiz, they're always doing that. Haul all those horses around free for old friends. And
I know. They're great. Oh, my favorite restaurant. Let's go for it. The Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's a descendant. What do you call a descendant of a bulb? Anyway, it's the old Black Tulip, which was Bill Vandendoor and Spencer Vandendoor. His son was a chef at the old Black Tulip, which is no more. So he moved over to Romney Road. This is 355 Romney Road. And it's a Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's wonderful food. We've been there. They have a patio. You can sit on the patio, and I count cars. But the food's out of this world. They were listed as one of the top 10 restaurants in the Lane Report Dining in the Bluegrass. It's French American cuisine. If you like fish, they got a lot of fish. They have oysters. They have 15 Weissfix oysters, including on the half-shell oysters, Rockefeller, etc. They have mussels, all kinds of good stuff. Right now, I guess it's this short ribs kind of weather, isn't it? Short ribs, that kind of stuff. They have duck. They have all kind of pork tenderloin, all kind of. They're chickens out of this world. So I want you to give them a call. I would suggest making reservations. It's 367-6687. That's 367-6687. Or thetulipbistroandbar.com.
All righty. Well, the first throws me into mischief, notional, and 'tis wonderful yearlings this year, and your first opportunity to purchase one at auction will be at the Fasey Tipton July sales. There are three youngsters by Into Mischief in the sale, five by Notional, 10 by 'tis wonderful. Into Mischief, one grade one stakes is a 2-year-old, one stakes again at 3, had brilliant speed, sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1, 7 furlongs and won 20-1, and he ran a mile and a 16th and won 40-4. Into Mischief is by Harlan's Holiday, the sire of 8 2011 stakes winners. Notional is a multiple graded stakes winner bred much like top sire Indian Charlie. They share the same sire, and both are out of mares from the Northern Dancer sire line. Tears Wonderful was undefeated at 2, won 2 graded stakes at Churchill after breaking his maiden at Saratoga, and he's by the great Hall of Famer Tears Now. Also in the sale are 4 by the big horse, Malibu Moon. Malibu Moon sired were ranked 3rd on the 2010 sire list. He's a top 10 sire again this year. Into Mischief, Notional, 'Tis Wonderful, Malibu Moon, all stand at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, R. Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. The American Produce Rep.
record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year, pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FrisNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk a little bit about my friend Ron Wallace, who is the owner and creator of Equine Farm Management. That's a farm program that was set up to help owners enjoy their horse farms, basically, is what they do. And he comes in and renovates horse farms, moves things around where they work properly. If you got virgin land, you can come in and set up a horse farm where it's most convenient. You know everything's going to run smoothly. He can hire help for you. He get you the bookkeepers or a stud man or you name it. He can get it. And he's basically a farm manager himself. He's had experience with farms, Judmont Farm and Three Chimneys Farm. He does a lot of work around here. Well, he does a lot of work for a lot of people all over the country. Some of the people he's working for are in Florida, New York. What he does, he develops a farm layout to meet established goals, whatever your goals are. He can generate operational and construction budgets, build facilities using competent, honest, and proven contractors. He knows them, and he knows the guys that can do the job and can do it right for you. And so if you're setting up farms, and he's done it. If you notice the Hurricane Hills farm right down here on the Paris Pike, built that farm layout, design, and construction right from scratch. Beautiful place. And you see that, and it's a show place. And let's see, Forging Oaks Farm over it's in Lexington, isn't it? Crown Colony, Ashley House Farm in Versailles, Live Oak down in Ocala, Elm Tree Farm over in Paris. These are people that he's done business with and helped them with. Autumn Winds Farm, of course. Summer Wind Farm, which is a great, great organization. So he can, he just selects from pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor. He knows them. And free their payroll for smaller core full-time employees. And, he can just really help you. Let me tell you how to get in touch with him. Of course, his website is equinemanagement.com. Ron Wallace. And I'm going to give you a cell number. It's an 859 number, 621-1655. Once again, equinefarmmanagement.com.
I'm heading down.
Horse Park. All right, take it to the top. I don't have very much. This week at the Horse Park, this weekend, is the Bluegrass Classic Quarter Horse Show and... this weekend, Mid-South Pony Club Rally. And then they've got a new exhibit, Ancient Bronzes of the Asian Grasslands. I'm running right over for that. I'm sorry. And then coming up, June 28th through July 3rd, the Silverama Region 14 Arabian Championship. And on my birthday, it's Cross Country Schooling Day. It must be Wednesday because they only do that Wednesdays and Sundays. Fundraiser for the Horse Park Foundation. That's a goodie. That's where you get to go, and you're not in a show. You get to wander all over on horseback around the horse park. That only happens about 4 or 5 times a year, so you want to take advantage of it. They have a session in the morning and a session in the afternoon, and you have to pay for parking, and you, of course, Coggins and all that kind of stuff too. That's a good one. That's Wednesday, June 29th. Next week, get ready, Urso, it's a golf cart show at the campground. Woo! You guess they decorate them?
I have no idea.
Put little whinnies on for a horn or something? I don't know. However, this is a biggie. July 1st through the 3rd, Carriage Association of America driving event. That's where they drive pairs and foreign hands and all that kind of stuff. That's a good one.
That's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. Okay, Farm Managers Club's 19th Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble is Monday. What's today? Saturday, Monday.
We usually come on the air on Saturdays.
Yeah, I know. Well, wake me up when it's over. Anyway, the recipients of the proceeds this year will be KEMI, Kentucky Equine Management Internship, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Now, Kurt Ramsey is the co-chair. Let me give you his number if you are interested. They have a good time. This is a biggie. This and the trail ride, I guess, are their two biggest. 533-2291. That's 533-2291. That's Kurt Ramsey. He works the Oak Tree Division of Lane's End, in case you forget that number. Also, this isn't really horsey, but we like to, we fox hunt down at Shaker Village, and July 9th is the first of their appetizer garden tour and garden side supper. It's pretty neat. It's $85 a piece, and their phone number, if you want the 800 number, is 800-734. You eat a lot. Don't go if you're on a diet. 800-734-5611, because to Google it, it's not Shakertown. It's got a real long old name. I forgot. But anyway. All right, Central Kentucky, Riding for Hope. They're always looking for nice sound, very quiet, 15 hand, 15 to horses to carry the little people in hippotherapy. They told Betsy she was going to have hippotherapy, and she thought for sure it was a hippopotamus.
She's going to ride a hippopotamus.
I had to straighten her out. That must be Greek, because equus is Latin, so hippo must be the Greek word for horse.
It's all Greek to me.
It's Greek to me, too. Anyway, back to you, Ursel.
All righty. Well, I'm going to do the top of the hour stuff, and then I'm going to get Eric Buckley on here.
He's old now.
My God, yeah. How old are you now, Eric?
I'm 31.
31?
You're kidding.
No.
Jeez, I remember.
That's obscene. I must be older than Kraut.
I just remember you when you were bulge.
Well, I think the last time I saw him, he had just gotten his driver's license. That would have been 16.
That's about right.
Gracious sakes.
Good Lord. Well, we're going to get to him just saying, just bred a good Group 2 stakes winner. And that's a good way to do it. Well, the first full cyber street hero are yearlings, and six, three colts and three fillies are cataloged for the Fasey Tipton July sales. Street hero won grade one stakes as a two-year-old. He's one of 11 grade one winners by the leading sire Street Cry. In fact, he won a place in three grade one stakes at two, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So take a close look at the Street Cry yearlings, and you're invited to visit Vinery's facilities for the care of the thoroughbred. Vinery offers state-of-the-art facilities in Kentucky, Florida, and New York for boarding, breeding, sales prep, breaking and training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services. They do it all. Be sure to inquire about Vinery's very successful racing partnerships. Then just give them a call at 455-9388. A bunch of people here you can ask for, John Gasper or Francis Rillihan, Grant Williamson or Steve Castanola. And check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, the first foals were Badger Silver, a three-year-old, and he is the sire in his first crop of Silver Medallion, winner of the Grade 3 $200,000 El Camino Real Derby, and also the 80 Logan Stakes at Santa Anita. A King Kanji, winner of the $100,000 Tropical Park Derby at Calder, placed in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes at Keenan, and in Gulfstream's $100,000 Hollandale Beach Stakes. Tough Sparkling Style, a stakes winner at Santa Anita, Silver Leo, stakes placed at Woodbine. And just last Saturday, call for silver. A 3-0 Philip, a badge of silver. Sprinted 6 furlongs in 108.1. Do win a $67,100 maiden special at Woodbine. And Inflation Heads, yet another daughter of badge of silver, run a mile in 135.2 to break her maiden by an impressive 5 3/4 lengths at Belmont Park. There are more promising runners by badge of silver on the horizon, so look for his yearlings, starting with the phase he tipped in July sale at the major auctions this year. Badger Silver is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Silver Deputy. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burt and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. For more information, check the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Alrighty.
We're starting the second hour of Horse Tales. And I've got Eric Buckley with me here this morning. And Eric, first thing you're going to have to do is teach me how to say this horse's name. He just won the Grade 2 Norfolk Stakes, and how do you pronounce his name?
Well, the best I can reckon, it's Bepak Chinta, which I think is a place in Thailand.
Well, you could have fooled me. You have to take me out of Bourbon County.
Well, believe me, I'm a country mouse myself, so I didn't get through me for a loop as well.
Well, you bred this in partnership with a couple of other gentlemen. Who are they now?
I did. Two good friends of mine, Sebastian Varney and Anthony O'Donnell. Sebastian and I have been friends for about 10 years. He lives in New York City. Mm-hmm. He's a businessman up there, and Anthony lives in Boston. And we'd been friends for a few years, and we decided that he wanted to get in the horse game, and so we went to November looking for a mare, and that's where we came up with Swaina Kay, who was the dam of the Group 2 winner.
Well, was she carrying this thing when you bought it?
No, she was in foal at the time to El Corridor, and she's a half-sister to a horse called Celtic Melody, who was a Grade 1 winner at Churchill. So there was a little bit of page there, you know, enough to satisfy us. And at that time, El Corridor was standing, his stud fee was $30,000, and we bought her for $23,000, which I thought was a heck of a deal anytime you can, you know.
What a green farm he was standing, wasn't he?
No, he was at...
Well, I forget where.
I think he was at Hillendale, maybe.
Well, might have been. Okay.
Yeah. And he was proven. You know, he'd had enough racetrack success.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we actually bought her out of the back ring. We'd been looking at horses, shortlists and stuff all day, and didn't really find anything. It was cold. And so we went inside and to warm up and just watching horses go through and sell. And she came up and, you know, wasn't bringing a whole lot of money, and we just decided to take a chance, and we got her for $23,000. And we ended up selling that foal that she was carrying. We sold it as a weanling for $100,000. So we made out like bandits. We got out on the mare and, you know, had a little fun. So
had a little stud fee money.
Exactly, a little play money, right. And then we bred her back to Warfront. We liked Warfront as a young sire. And
you picked a winner there.
Right, well, we did, but unfortunately we didn't have much. Our sales success after that kind of tailed off. We sold him for, I believe, $1,500 in Phasic October. He was kind of small. And,
is that right?
Yeah. And he went to Western Canada and was actually his place in a couple of minor stakes up in Western Canada. And then we went to Better Despitestown, and that's, of course, the sire of this Bepak Chinta.
Yeah.
And we didn't make money on him either. We ended up selling him for $20,000 at Keeneland September, and he was, you know, the mare herself was kind of small and muscular, and all her foals were pretty much the same way, so people kind of knocked us on the foal size when they were yearlings, so that hurt us, but, you know, obviously it doesn't...
Didn't hurt him running.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You got anything out of her now that you're going
to
sell?
Unfortunately, she passed away. We bred her to Quiet American, which would have been really nice to have now that this thing's gone on still well in Europe. But and she had there was a freak accident about 2 weeks before she was due. She the foal got poked a hole inside her, tore up her gut, and so I lost her and the foal. And,
oh my God!
You know, it was just one of those freak deals, but.
Well, let's talk about something cheerful.
Sure.
I've known you for, since you were a little boy coming out here. Mom was training out here, and your grandfather trained out here.
Right.
In fact, we had the honor of being in the same barn with your grandfather, with Carter Thornton. And we loved him. He was more fun. He was a rascal, you know.
I've heard a lot of stories, yes, sir. And obviously, I knew him. We were pretty close, and he was a really good guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Carter was kind of gruff, and you know
what, he could be. He liked things done his way, and you know, he was honest to a fault, and just a really hard worker, and he passed that on to you know, my mom and uncle, and they passed it along to myself, and my Uncle Tim's got three daughters, three girls, so, you know, we're all just...
And manages Airdrie Stud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a GM over there. Has been for 20-some-odd years, and...
I think it's going to last.
I think so, too. But he's still really involved with Reeve Maine now. I mean, it's really a family...
Yeah, it's a family
affair,
operation.
Sure.
Yeah. You're the manager.
Technically, I suppose that's, if you want to put a technical name on it, I mean... Well, Mom's still involved in, I mean, we all kind of had a turn, you know. Tim ran it for a while back in the 70s and 80s, and then he went on to Airdrie, and then Mom came in, and she ran it for a while, and now she's kind of trying to back away. So I suppose technically it's me. It's my turn.
We were over in barn 15, and it was a great barn. I think Carter just had the one horse at that time. And Leonard Atkinson, Grub Atkinson was there. And Herb Jones, and it was a bunch of fun people.
Sure.
You know. Everybody would tease your grandfather unmercifully, and he loved it. Yeah, but he was a great guy. He really was. If I'm not mistaken, he sold three Derby winners.
He did. He had a part in it. He worked for, he was actually the youngest farm manager in Kentucky history. He worked for Mr. Fairburn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was a farm over in Winchester, I believe, and he managed that, and then he went in the Army and came back, and the farm had been sold, and he had to go out. He and his wife, Peggy, my grandmother, they decided to go and lease Threave, Maine, right down the road here. So that's how that got started.
And then bought it.
Yeah, leased it for several years, and we slowly, little by little, you know.
Galahadian, the 40 winner, he sold him.
Right.
Canyonero
the second. Which was 71, I believe.
Yeah,
we sold him.
Yeah, right there, right up 70 or 71.
And,
Hoop Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was the first Derby winner sold by Keeneland.
Is that right?
Yeah, first yearling that they sold to win the Derby was Hoop Jr. And what year was that? He won in 1945, I think. And Galahadian was in 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he beat, it was a big upset, you know, he beat Bimelik.
Sure.
Was supposed to be, well, Bimelik went on to be the champion 3-0, but he threw in some clunkers that he did, you know. But and Carter trained for years and years.
He trained for 40 years, and Mom trained for 20. And Carter had, he had some nice horses. He had Little Tudor and Plum Gray, and, you know, he had some
out of that
stuff.
Stud of...
Tudor Gray.
We
stood stallions for years over there, Tudor Gray and Silent Dignity, and, you know, just good hard-knocking stallions before the game got money crazy. And
He stood the Doge, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, the Sire Swoon Son and those horses. He was a good stud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was. Well, Carter was fun. Well, how come you didn't get into training?
That's a good question. I'm sitting here looking across the track, and I grew up right over there, you know, between here and Keeneland where Mom trained. I don't know. I guess, you know, when I was probably 15 or 16, and we went back to the farm, you know, Mom took over for day-to-day operations there and kind of retired from training, and I guess I just liked the farm better, to be honest with you.
That's a damn good answer. I would say.
I mean,
you're doing what you want. Well, let me take a break here, and I'll get back to you.
Sure.
Take care of some people that your grandfather used to do business with was the Hancocks.
Sure. Old family friends.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, Arch is the sire of champions in four different countries. He's the sire of Blame, winner of the 2010 Eclipse Award for champion older male, and the only horse that defeats Zenyatta. He's the sire of the 2011 Grade 1 Stakes winner, Arch, Arch, Arch. He's the sire of 6 Grade 1 Stakes winners and graded stakes winners in the United States, Canada, England, Ireland, Hong Kong, South Africa, and of some 65 stakes horses to date. In 2010, Arch sired the earners of nearly $6 million to rank among the nation's leading sires. Grade 1 Stakes winner, Arch, by Chris S., out of the stakes winner and multiple Grade 1 producer, Aurora, by the Great Dancy, is a major source of classic stamina. So for a chance at the classics, watch for Yearling, sired by Arch, at the major sales this year. For more information about Arch, his champion son, Blame, and the Claiborne Stallions, contact Bernie Sams at 233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
There are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
June 19 at Church of Downs, Forster La Nature, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by Scat Daddy, won a $59,700 maiden special in her career debut. Forster La Nature, bred by Dapple Bloodstock and trained by Eddie Keneally, won going away by a length and a quarter after going four wide on the turn. May 11th, another first-time starter by Scat Daddy, Little Miss Muffet, won a maiden special at Churchill Downs. Little Miss Muffet is trained by Tom Amos. June 6th, and yet another maiden special at Churchill, Daddy's Knows Best, a colt by Scat Daddy, trained by Steve Asmussen, ran second in his first start. And on May 9, in a maiden special at Belmont, Finale, a colt by Scat Daddy, finished third in his first time out. So the Scat Daddies, as expected, are showing plenty of scat. Scat Daddy won Grade 1 stakes at 2 and 3, earned over $1,334,000. He's by world champion Juvenile Johannesburg. In recent stakes, last Saturday at Royal Ascot, the Group $267,000 Hardwick was won by Await the Dawn, a four-year colt by Giants Causeway, racing for Michael Tabor and Susan McNear, and trained by Aidan O'Brien. Await the Dawn won five of his six starts, including three graded stakes. Then at Colonial Downs, Follow My Footsteps by Giants Causeway won the DeHaas Stakes to become his sire's 102nd stakes winner. Scat Daddy and Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire again this year. Standard Coolmore's Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Hey, I'm talking to Eric Buckley. Eric, it's a family operation down there, but you got your own mares and family mares, and you take boarders and so forth.
We do. Always looking for year-round boarders and clients, and we've been very lucky over the years that to have a handful of clients that, you know, they're just as much friends as they are clients, just mm-hmm. really good people that, and, you know, we've luckily had some success raising some nice horses for them, and, but we're always looking for new stuff, and we try to keep between, you know, 20 and 30 mares, and most of our own, right, between myself and Uncle Tim and my parents. And I've personally got, right now I think I've got four,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's just a small family operation. It's 330 acres, and, you know, we grow all our own hay and mm-hmm. and do bluegrass bedding. And, you know, it's very hands-on. I mean, I'm there. I foal every foal out, and, you know, we do a lot of hand-walking for prep and sale yearlings and, you know, just try to do it to what's best for the horse mm-hmm. and
sell mostly Keeneland, don't you?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Go to take a few to Phasic July here and there, you know.
When got anything coming up?
I don't have anything for this year. We had two last year. One that's actually a nice flashy bull colt that's going to be running in an He was entered in a stake in Canada last week, but scratched. He's running in a maiden in that Woodbine tomorrow. Yeah.
I noticed there's a flashy bull in the stakes down at Churchill today.
Sure.
Yeah, those things might be all right.
I think they might be.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We're really just very fortunate. It's one of the last, in my mind, one of the last, you know, true family, small family farms. I mean. Mm-hmm. And those are hard to keep.
Well, 340 acres ain't exactly
small.
Well,
by the time you start mowing it and taking care of it.
I imagine that hayfield can get pretty big.
It can. You're right. But it's good, and that's a good experience. I think everybody should have to bale hay at least once. It's good for you.
I couldn't wait to get out of that. But that and tobacco barns, I've learned.
Luckily, I never had to be in the top of one of those. So,
well, they wouldn't have got me up there anyway. I tell you that right now. Even at a young age, I wouldn't have climbed one of those things. Yeah. Well, that's who do you breed to? What do you got to sell this year? What kind of units?
We breed a lot to Airdrie stallions. I mean, that just makes sense. They usually have a really strong roster, and obviously with Tim being there as a GM, we breed to. We try to keep it really modest. I mean, we've always had kind of the philosophy to breed to reasonably priced stud fees,
yeah.
You know. And I don't know, what have I got this year? We've got a couple nice Harlan's Holidays. I've got...
He's got 8 stakes winners this year. Mm-hmm. You hit him in a good year?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Badge Silver.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those.
Just did a commercial on him.
Couple nice Indian Charlies.
I love Indian Charlies.
Nice time to have one of those.
Oh yeah, he's been a great stud horse.
So yeah, I mean we don't get real crazy with, you know, you'll never catch us breeding anything.
What about that horse, Majestic Perfection?
Horse. We bred a couple to him.
I haven't seen him. I'd love to see him.
He's good looking. He really is.
That's what I understand. He was a standout.
It was a top class racehorse too. I think he just got
Eric. He came out of the gate. And when he won that Grade 1 stakes at Saratoga.
Right.
And they threw the latch, and it looked like the rest of them got left to close. That was an unbelievable performance. I hadn't seen a horse come out of that gate since Spy Song back in 1945.
Before 40, my time.
40, no. But anyway, that's the reason I'd love to see. I want to get down there and see him.
Well, you should go see him. He's a nice looking horse.
Yeah, not that I'd afford to breed to him, but, you know. So you breed a lot down there. But that's a great operation.
Oh, it's a wonderful operation, and they always have some nice stallions and very easy to deal with and just, you know, good people.
Actually, I thought that Burry should have got the Eclipse Award last year.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, because he's with less horses and the way they were running, you know, and not only that, homebred.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of them trained out here starting out, you know.
Sure.
Wayne Mackey,
right.
Yeah. Wayne's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
I remember when that Proud Citizen, Proud Spell was out here. Uh-huh. He had her. And he's had several others out here that went on that do run real good.
Sure.
For Burry.
Yeah, no, they've had a lot of success with homebreds and done real well.
Man, races up. He's got some at Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where. Now, what's the trainer's name? You know,
Larry Jones.
Yeah, Larry Jones. Yeah, he's at Delaware now.
Right.
Yeah, you all got anything in training?
We don't. You know, it's so damn expensive. It's the problem. I mean, every once in a while we'll keep something to run, and actually. Uncle Tim has had some success. He campaigned a filly named Golden Marlin by the stallion Marlin, who stood at Airdrie. And she won, I think, about $300,000. She was a graded stakes winner.
Yeah.
Nice little, very useful filly. And she's actually at the farm as a broodmare now. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, do you?
She has got a Indian Charlie yearling. And
he's one of my favorite horses.
Arch.
Better back to Arch.
At Claiborne, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I loved Indian Charlie. I used to, you know, have a show where I'd give the race results every evening. I did it for 50 years.
I remember that show.
Okay. Anyway, you can see these horses, you know, that are going to make it. And he hadn't even moved down to Airdrie yet, and you could see that Indian Charlie was going to make it. And I really like that horse. I mean,
he's a nice horse.
Yeah, pretty much of an outcross of a bunch of horses. You know, when you're breeding, too, as far as that goes. Yeah. Well, I want to get you out here to training some.
Huh. Well,
that's enough said right there.
I don't know if I'd have what it takes to be a good trainer.
Well, send your mother back out here.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, okay.
She'd probably enjoy it. I know she trained for 20 years and really enjoyed it, so I don't know.
Do you ride?
I do not ride.
Oh. Were you ever in Pony Club when you were a kid?
No, I didn't ever do that. I had a pony as a child, but I wasn't ever a very good rider, and I never really pursued it.
Yeah, I wondered, because your mom was.
Yeah, no, yeah, she
Pony
was
Club and all that kind of stuff. So I have to ask, since you're 31, are you married?
I am not, but...
all right, Lexi, listen up.
I have a great, steady girlfriend, Stevie McCarron, who's actually Chris McCarron's middle daughter, and she's here in town. She's a professional show jumper, and so we share the horse, the love of horses.
That's good. Yeah. Where does she base? I mean, how do you do a professional
she's
show jumper?
She's based over, Dr. Kevin Feaster has a farm over in, off of Yarnelton, and she's got a barn out there. And
Okay. Now, does she train and show for people?
Is she does, and does. She has clients and does shows herself as well, and they actually just had a show this past week at the horse park. And
which was that? It was Country Air Number 2.
Well, she might be the most beautiful, perfect girl in the world, but you got to put up with Chris, you know.
No, he's a hoot. I really enjoy Chris. He's nice.
Yes, he really is.
Yes, he's a good guy.
He's got this jock school.
Right. Yeah, and doing pretty well with it.
Yeah, he's developed some good riders.
Yeah.
He sure has.
Yeah, what's her name ran second yesterday?
Natalie
Turner ran second in the first race, and then...
our little buddy, Adam Bowman.
Adam Bowman. First time starter yesterday. Really? At River Downs.
That's
exciting. Chrissy, yeah. He's on Facebook, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to sleep tonight. So the ice is broken. He's done it. So it's fun following these kids.
Yeah.
They are
especially
fun
when they go on to do something great. That's neat.
They're leading rider down at Turfway this year was... graduate of the school.
What did you go to UK or did you study any farming or just
I went year to U of L to their equine program, and then I came back here and went to UK for a couple of years, and then I gracefully retired. I figured I was better off.
Right, and then bred a stakes winner. What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, that was sometimes it's better to be lucky than smart, you know.
Oh, it's always better to be lucky than smart or pretty. Yeah. So I keep telling myself.
Well, Eric Owen, thank you for coming by.
Well, thank you guys. Enjoyed it.
Good to see you. Geez, you've grown about
2 feet.
About two more than that. But you got your mother's eyes. I see that right away.
Yes, thank you. But he's got his daddy's.
Yeah, it looks like your dad's, Mike's pretty tall.
Yeah,
you do have your mom's eyes, but the rest of you looks like your daddy. Funny. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, her eyes are real gray, and yours are kind of gray-green, I guess, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Say hello to the family.
I will. Good to see you all. Really enjoy your show, and thank you for doing it.
I enjoyed it.
You know, amazing memory, for sure.
I do?
Oh, yeah. It's really fun to listen to you.
I can't remember my name half the time. Uh-huh. All right.
Thank you all.
All right, Eric. Thanks. All right, let's see where we are here. We're down to... Want to try to see if we can get... have you got a hold of Moody over there, Ressie? Well, see if you can raise him. Okay. And we can always throw in another spot. Let's see now. Well, the first foals by First Defense are yearlings, and two have been cataloged for the upcoming Phasey Tipton July sales. There are also three in the sale by Mizzenmast. One of the best-bred young sire prospects in the world, First Defense, was a brilliant sprinter with a classic pedigree. He won the Grade 1 4-gold, won the Grade 3 Jiper in the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes, top allowance races at Belmont and Churchill, and he broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths as a 2-year-old at Belmont Park. Sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 4 at Belmont, 122 1 at Churchill, 122 2 at Saratoga. He's by Leading Sign Bridal Song, and First Defense is out of the Grade One Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Honest Lady's a half-sister to the top-size Empire Maker in Chester House, out of Grade One winner and Broodmare of the Year Toussaint. Mizzenmast is a known quantity, a Grade One Stakes winner and a Grade One Sire Stakes winners. Like their sire, the Mizzenmast win sprinting, win going long, win on dirt, win on grass, win on artificial. The key word here is win. Both First Defense and Mizzenmast stand in Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Gerald O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. All right, I want to talk about my good friend Tom Biederman. And Mom's gone to the website. Hey, Jackie, I need you. We're going to these new web listings of Tom Biederman's.
Oh,
here.
Oh yeah, give me. Where's my?
What do you mean, give me?
Well, I wrote them down. These are great. These are wonderful. I wrote down these places he's got. This is right past us on Clay Kaiser. Cesaria Farm, 80 acres, three bedroom, bath and a half house. It's about $1 million. Five fields, four paddocks, new six stall barn, and an 80 by 100 riding arena. Outdoor, that kind of thing.
Am I on now?
Yeah, you were on, but it was down a little bit too low, I think.
Oh, well, I'll sit up taller. Maybe I'll make more noise.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Biederman's stuff. Right down the road from us, 1094 Clay Kaiser, Cesaria Farm, 80 acres, five fields and four paddocks, and a new six-stall barn. Here's another one in Bourbon County. Black's Cross Road is the very fancy big deal place. Now, there's a place out there. He's got a big new house, 11-stall barn, 133-plus acres. And that's the real up-and-coming part of Bourbon County, they tell me. Right down the road from us on Elizabeth Stations, 50-plus acres. It's 730 Elizabeth Station. That's real near 460, which runs from Paris to Georgetown. It's handy to everything. 15-stall training barn. Second barn has six stalls and an apartment. It's got a modular home. This price is reduced. This is nice. And here's the thing. They've got a gallop that they built all around the paddocks. So when you're training, you can gallop outside.
Ah.
And that's nice. And here's this other thing I want to mention real quick. There's a house for sale, the 18th Fairway at Griffin Gate.
Oh.
Three-car garage, 2,588 square feet. Now, listen to this price. Now, this is a Griffin Gate. This is a very, people want to live at Griffin Gate. It's
$335,000. That's pretty good.
And I saw it. That's a surprise. That's why I wrote that one down. There's 30 acres for lease on Old Frankfort Pike. Keene Road in Nicholasville's got a gorgeous house. Got its tennis court, pool, four-stall barn, guest cottage. It's 3155 Keene Road in Nicholasville, and that's $895.
All right, that's Tom Biederman, brokerage and real estate. And his phone number is 277-2030, and Tom's website is biedermanbrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N brokerage. .com. Of course, Tom's a horseman and one of the best. So get in touch with him. Really nice guy. For nothing else, you ought to know him. He's just a nice guy. Another nice guy is Jim Fitzgerald, who sent his big rig over just yesterday. Yesterday. And mowed our farm for us. Now, isn't that nice? And Jim is, of course, owns Knott Griffin Farm, which he's over on 460 with Knott Griffin. We're on Clay Kaiser. We can see the back of his farm. Probably he didn't see the back of ours. That's probably why he came over and mowed it. But whatever. We appreciate it. He also owns Harper's Island farm, which he recently developed. And the farms are just 10 minutes apart. And he has great facilities, boarding, sales prep, sales, that's public or private, rehab, you know, just whatever. He can take care of it. Quality farm help. And the best thing about Jim, he's just got some good sound, common sense advice. And if you're somebody you can trust, and a really, really nice guy, and you need to get to know him, especially if you want to board a mare and be treated right. And he's a great horseman. And let me give you his phone number. It's 987-8032. And once again, his website is Knock Griffin Farm. It's knockgriffinfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, had a dear friend in old time. Thinking of my
father. All righty. Yeah, I guess I've got time to do a little histoire.
Mr. Moody's not there?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
Steve, you hiding from us?
I'll give you a winner. 5, 7, and 4.
What's that?
Just go bed 5, 7, and 4.
No.
I did that with my eyes closed and without looking.
I'll bet you. Yeah. I think instead of doing...
Wasn't Eric? It was wonderful to see Eric.
Yeah, it was good to see him.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Good looking kid, isn't he?
Isn't he nice looking?
Yeah. All right, let's see here. Well, I think I'll just read something from Joe Palmer, just for the heck of it.
Do that.
All right. Stand by. This title of this column is On Handicapping Trainers. Here we go. There are several ways of putting a column together. One is to work. This is generally frowned on in the profession. Another is to sit opposite John B. Campbell, a steward at Hialeah, and a racing secretary for the New York tracks, and spoil his lunch. This is 5 times better business. He's not a man in ordinate need of nutriment, so virtues serve both ways. It was suggested that he once worked with a man named McGinn. Edward W. McGinn, said Mr. Campbell, checking the fervor of his attack on an omelet, the smartest man I ever knew. He could handicap horses all right, but he could handicap trainers even better. With a given trainer in a given situation, 9 times out of 10, Ed McGinn knew what he would do better than the trainer did. Mr. Campbell is generally accounted the leading racing secretary and handicapper of his time. He is a robust man and strong. In 1949, he was able to lift 138 pounds and put it on Coal Town for the Suburban Handicap, when no other handicapper was able to handle much more than 130. This resulted in a standoff. Narragansett Park got the gate attraction, and Coaltown got a hollow victory. Mr. Campbell got a keenly contested Suburban without Coaltown and was able to look at himself calmly while shaving. So particulars on this McGinn were requested. The following details were derived from the considerable archives of Mr. Campbell's memory. McGinn was a racing secretary in the days when a handicapper had to be a bit wary lest a trainer hold a horse a couple of times to get a light weight and a handicap. He grew up in Cincinnati and went to St. Francis Xavier College with the intention of becoming a Jesuit priest. Somewhere along the line, he decided he had no vocation, so he gave up and moved west. There he fell in with Joseph Martin, whose father was president of the then-flourishing St. Louis Fairgrounds and of the Western Turf Congress. The elder Martin, not choosing a racetrack career for his son, had thoughtfully had him ruled off all the tracks under his jurisdiction. But this merely drove Joe Martin and Ed McGinn across the river to Cellar Adler tracks, which were then holding racing under electric light. If you have the thought that night racing is new, get rid of it. Eventually, McGinn became handicapper for a whole series of tracks in Canada, Missouri, Kentucky, Arkansas, and elsewhere. And he became one of the best. That man can ride races that nobody can win, a trainer once said of him at Hot Springs. Once at Latonia, this narrated by Mr. Campbell, there was a man with a horse named Solar Star. Ed put 126 pounds on him in a handicap. He ran out of the money. The next handicap, he had 126 pounds again. And he got beat again. That went on all through the meeting, with the trainer crying, but 126 pounds going on Solar Star every time. Finally, they came to the last handicap at the meeting. Well, it was the last chance, and here came Solar Star, winning by 4 lengths under 126 pounds. McGinn had made him try. McGinn, who used to while away his spare time reading The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, apparently cherished few illusions. Possibly reading about the Romans removed them. Once he had a handicap to get out, and 5 of the 6 horses which were to run in it were in a race on the day the weights were to be issued. A friend came around looking for a tip. "Well, I'm not sure what's going to win it," McGinn told him. "But one thing for sure, don't bet on any of the horses that'll be weighted in this handicap. Among other things, he put the celebrated A.B. Dade in business as a starter. Dade had left the tracks and was working in a dry goods store. Something happened to the starter at McGinn's track, and he went after Dade. "I don't see what you want with me," Dade told him. "You know perfectly well I don't know anything about starting horses." "That didn't make any difference," McGinn answered. "You look like a starter." Dade gave it a try and became one of the most celebrated starters of his time. Dade Park in Kentucky is named for him, and every now and then you see a handicap run in his memory. It was some time later that McGinn had occasion to bicker with Dade. He had a race with four horses in it, and he needed a fifth. The trouble was that the fifth possibility was on Dade's schooling list as an animal which needed more education in starting. "I need this horse," McGinn said. "I need him like bread. What about letting him off the list?" "Look, Ed," Dade answered, "that's a tough horse to start. He's a lot of trouble." "I know he's a lot of trouble," exploded McGinn. "If it wasn't any trouble to start horses, we'd hire the milkman at $5 a day." He got his horse. In racing's gayer and less responsible days, there was a somewhat looser standard of conduct. All of that's gone now, of course. But there was a time when McGinn bent his elbow with more vigor than was consistent with progress in the decline and fall. It was at this time he involved a theory which I pass on for what it's worth. "It sobers up a man to stagger," he declared. "Naturally, I'm ashamed to stagger on the street. So when I feel like the need of it, I stagger up an alley." This would have been some time back, of course, just how long since McGinn had been around the tracks. "I think he died in 1914, said Mr. Campbell. "I know it was the year that Luke McLuke won the Kentucky Handicap. He hadn't done much on it, and I had to finish it." Recourse to the books proved Mr. Campbell right, as usual. A lot of handicaps had been run since 1914. But the principles of handicapping remained the same as they were then when McGinn told friend Luzader, "If you'd let that horse you're crying about run every time he went out, you'd win plenty of races." Okay, that was written by Joe Palmer back in the 1940s when life was good and I was young.
Me too.
All righty. Well, let me see where we are now. De Hare was retired late in the 2008 breeding season, and from a small test crop, he's represented by just 6 2-year-olds this year. That was enough to demonstrate that De Hare's going to sire runners. The first to start was Gypsy Rose in a $50,000 maiden special at Keeneland. And she not only won by 7.5 lengths, she set a new track record in the process. Her connections were so high on her that she was sent to Great Britain, and last week she made her first start. That was at Royal Ascot in a Group 2 Stakes. Ran very well. I just got beat 4 lengths for all the money in her first start on grass, and after a pretty long trip, I might add. This year, there will be many more opportunities to purchase a yearling by De Hare. When you see one walk into the sales ring, remember Gypsy Rose. And remember that De Hare ran a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, in 1:34.1 to take the Grade 2 Jerome, and that he's a full brother to Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar, by Awesome Again out of a stakes winner Irish Cherry. Described as freaky fast by Steve Haskin, De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Bluegrass Cat, a leading freshman sire in 2010 with 21 winners as a sire, 10 stakes horses in his first crop. 5 of 1 are placed in stakes, including Calfman Blue, winner of 4 stakes to date, including the Grade 2 Golden Grod at Churchill and the Grade 3 Rachel Alexander at the Fairgrounds, placed in 3 other stakes, among them the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland and the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. And a Blue Laser, winner of the Grade 3 $223,000 Gray Breeders' Cup Stakes at Woodbine. Bluegrass Cat won graded stakes at 2 and 3, won the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, ran second in the Belmont Stakes, second in the Travers and Kentucky Derby. all grade one, for earnings of over $1,761,000. He's by Stormcat out of a daughter of AP Indy. Watch for his second crop yearlings at the upcoming sales. There are five in the phase he tipped in July sales. There are also yearlings in the sale by the Windstar Stallions, Harlan's Holiday, sire of eight stakes winners already this year, Sharp Humor, the leading second crop sire of stakes horses, and Eclipse Award winner Spritestown, the nation's number one ranked third crop sire in 2010, and the sire of a Group 2 winning two-year-old already this year. If you want a runner in your racing stable, look to the Windstar Stallions. And for more information, contact Robert Hammond at 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. I got time. We're working on trying to get through working on 1957 three-year-olds, saying I've done Gallant Man and I have done Bold Ruler, and the other big one that year was Round Table, of course. Bold Ruler ended up the top weight on the free handicap that year, 130. Gallant Man and Round Table were each co-second weights at 129. Round Table, of course, was by Prince Quillota Knight's daughter, by Sir Cosmo. He was bred by Claiborne Farm. He raced for Travis Kerr at the under the name of the Kerr Stable, trained by Willie Moulter. Of course, he started running in Claiborne's colors and was trained by Moody Jolly. But he was sold on his way to the post for an allowance race in February the 9th. Down at Hialeah, that was his three-year-old season, and the deal was $145,000, and Claiborne retaining a 20% interest in the breeding rights to the horse. And Mr. Kerr, Travis Kerr, was an Oklahoma oil man, incidentally. Anyway, that day, he finished sixth in a seven-horse field. Didn't look like a very good deal at that time. But this was one sound horse, Round Table. He's during his career, he started 66 times. His two main contemporaries, for instance, Bold Ruler, started 33 times, and Gallant Man just started 26. Round Table was not an exceptional two-year-old, although he won five of his 10 starts. That would have been exceptional for me. One of them would have been exception to the rule, for sure. He ran fourth in his first start as a two-year-old back in February. Then he broke his maiden second time out at Keeneland on April the 14th. Won the Lafayette Stakes at Keeneland, beating a horse named Jet Colonel. Then he went up to Arlington, won an allowance race there in the Hyde Park. They ran second in the Hyde Park Stakes to Fred Hooper's Greek Game, and fourth in the Arlington Fortuity Greek Game, won that again. And the George Wolfe Memorial over at Washington Park has lost his rider, and that was Steve Brooks. And then he won two in a row, allowance race and a Breeders' Futurity over Missile on October the 20th. Last start as a two-year-old was down at Churchill Downs, and he finished eighth in a field of 14. Came back at three, and he ran the first time out, was in the Hibiscus Stakes. He ran 10th. He got beat. Then he won his first two starts. After that, he won in Kerr Silks, first wins anyway. He won at Hialeah, going seven furlongs and 122. Then on March the 2nd, he ran second by a head to a horse named Sir William in the Santa Anita Derby. March the 11th, he caught a heavy track out Santa Anita and ran fifth. Sent him up to San Mateo, which is in the Bay Area up around San Francisco, and he won the Bay Meadows Derby. And he came to Kentucky, and he led all the way and won the Bluegrass Stakes. He won by six and set a new track record. That record stood forever and ever. 147-2, beat One-Eyed King, was by Naz Rula. Manto, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, he was by Citation. Ralph Neves rode him, California rider. Neves is the guy that went down in a race up in northern Kentucky, and they carted him off, and he was declared dead. And he wasn't quite dead because he got up and went back and rode the last race. So somebody made a bad diagnosis there, according to Mr. Neves.
In Northern Kentucky, I can't.
No,
imagine.
Not Northern California. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Northern California.
Well, I guess
I don't know.
I guess their doctors just as bad there as they are in Northern Kentucky.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah, did I say Northern Kentucky? It was Northern California. Well, after he won the Bluegrass Stakes, they sent him to the Kentucky Derby, and of course he finished third that day. Got beat 2¾ lengths to Iron Leaves and Gallant Man. Bold Ruler was fourth. He went off with second choice at 360-1. Iron Leaves was 840-1. Gallant Man went off at 371. Bold Ruler was even money favorite that day. Roundtable skipped the Preakness and skipped the Belmont, went back to California. On May the 25th, he ran second in the Californian to Social Climber. Fine ran third, Fine by Discovery. Then on May the 30th, my birthday, he ran a mile 134-2 and won the Will Rogers Stakes. And then he peeled off 11 straight wins. So Mr. Kerr getting his money, I tell you what. He won the El Dorado Stakes by 7, beating Joe Price, going a mile 16th and 141. He won the Cinema Handicap on 130. He won the Hollywood Gold Cup, going a mile and a quarter and 158-3. He won by over 3 lengths, beating Porterhouse, who was by, he raced for Langolin. He was by an Argentine horse named Endeavor the second, and then Fine ran third. He was by Discovery. Let's see, after that, he ran a mile and a quarter in 2:03 and won the Westerner Stakes, carrying 129 pounds. Sent him to Chicago, won 3 in a row on the turf. He was developed into a great turf horse. It's virtually unbeatable. This awaits beat him. He won a Betless Exhibition, going a mile and a 16th on August the 20th. Then he won the American Derby on the 31st of August, beating Iron Liege. September the 14th, he won the United Nations Handicap by going a mile and 3/16 by a nose over a horse named Tudor Era, who's my own Tudor. Fine ran third. Fine always got a piece of it. What a great old horse he was. There's been two horses named Fine after that, too. They weren't as good as he was. Put him back on the dirt in an allowance race at Hawthorne, and he won. Then he won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, beating Swoon Sons by the Doge, who stood down at 3 Main, incidentally. The Doge did. Fine was third. I might as well just write that down on all of them, looks like. Sent him over to Garden State, and he won a prep for the Trenton Handicap. And then in the Trenton, he got beat by Bold Ruler and Gallant Man, and he's beating 10¾ lengths. They beat him off pretty good. Gallant Man won by 8-something, though. That's what that margin was. And anyway, that defeat cost him. Bold Ruler went on and was named. No, Bold Ruler won the thing. What am I talking about? Bold Ruler won the Trenton, and that set him up to be named champion 3-year-old and horse of the year. Ranked a pound over Gallant Man and over Round Table. Then he went back to California in his last start of the year. He sprinted 7/8 and 122 flat and won the Malibu. Well, he started 22 times as a 3-year-old with 15 wins. The other two, his two main rivals, Bold Ruler started 16 times and won 11. And Gallant Man had 14 starts and won 8. You know, Gallant Man was a very small horse. He wasn't very big at all. He had bad feet. Bold Ruler, he had some problems, too. I know he was had rheumatism, for one thing.
Really?
Yeah, he had to warm up pretty good, I think. And he had some nagging problems all the way through his career. Didn't make any difference, though. He was a great racehorse. And, of course, of the three, he was the greatest sire of them all. Bold Ruler was, although Round Table was highly successful. And Gallant Man was a good sire, but not nearly in the class as Bold Ruler and Round Table, who, incidentally, were foaled, I think, in the same day down at Claiborne. I know it was the same day, and I think they were in adjoining stalls, but...
Huh.
Isn't that something? Two great racehorses like that fold on the same day.
Huge odds against that.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's the story roundtable. Now we've got a who will I do next? Coming up, well, there's Iron Liege was in with he was weighted at 126. And Clem, one of my favorite old horses, he was just a game old horse. He was by Shannon out of America by Supremus. Federal Hill was a very fast miler. Well, he should have been. He was out of an aerial mare. He was by Cosmic Bomb, who was a son of Cosmic Bomb was sired by Fairmont. I'm pretty sure that's right. And he ran, let's see, where was he in that derby? He ran fifth in the 1947 Kentucky Derby, which was won by Jet Pilot. Then Manto was a citation, Promised Land, Palestinian, and Vertex was in weighted at 119. Vertex was by the Rhymer. Vertex was a very good sire also. Of course, sired Lucky Debonair, won the Kentucky Derby, among others. He stood over at Dan and Ada Rice's farm out on the Old Frankfort Pike. The champion filly that year was Bayou. All righty, I see I've got one more spot to do here. And if I can find it, hope I can find it. Here we go. And the first foals by Inner Mischief Notional and Tis Wonderful yearlings this year. And your first opportunity to purchase one at auction will be at the Fazy Tipton July sales. There are three youngsters by Inner Mischief in the sale, five by Notional, 10 by Tis Wonderful. Inner Mischief won grade one stakes at 2. One stakes again at 3, and brilliant speed, 6.5 furlongs and 114 and 1. Day broke his maiden, 7 furlongs and 120 and 1. Run a mile and a 16th, 140 and 4. The Inner Mischief is by Harlan's Holiday, the sire of 8 stakes winners this year. Notional is a multiple graded stakes winner. He's bred a whole lot, like Indian Charlie. They share the same sire, and both are out of mares in the Northern Dancer line. Tis Wonderful was undefeated at 2, won 2 graded stakes at Churchill that year. Broke his maiden at Saratoga as a 2-year-old. He's by the great Hall of Famer, Tis Now. Also in the sale of 4-yearlings by the big horse, that's Malibu Moon, who is, among the top 5 again this year. Malibu Moon ranked 3rd on the 2010 sire list, and he's right up there again this year, as I said. In the Mischief, Notional, Tis Wonderful, Malibu Moon, stand at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffey. Website is SpendthriftFarm.com. Okay, we got... Well, all righty. Let me give me this thing. We're sitting around here with a nice breeze coming in the window, and the clock will stand in the window. And
it's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice day. Stay out of the sun.
Yeah. Okay.
And go home and finish mowing, I guess.
Yeah.
All I have to do is a trim.
I got a weed.
Jim Fitzgerald came in and did the rest of it. Bless his heart. Gorgeous job, too.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he got tired of looking at all those...
when he rode by. Look at that place. It's clean up your neighbor's week.
Yes. Well, Jim's a good neighbor.
Okay, the Kentucky Equine Humane Center, of course, down on Catnip Hill, down toward Nickyville. The horse of the week is Esprit, a quarter horse, black and white. She's a mare. She's 13. She's 15 hands. She may have been a broodmare because they don't think she's ever had a saddle on. But there you are. She's real flashy. She's real pretty. A lot of people just die for paints. And this is a good-looking one. And they said she's kind, sweet, and everything, but she needs breaking. Okay, Sally Van is now the United States Equestrian Federation's first official horse transportation provider. That's a big deal. The USEF has a gazillion things going on. Of course, they're out at the horse park. And they're the Olympic bunch, so that's pretty snazzy. At the horse park, this weekend is Mid-South Pony Club Rally and the Bluegrass Classic Quarter Horse Show, and a new exhibit: Ancient Bronzes of the Asian Grasslands. Right. June 28th through July 3rd, that's Tuesday through next weekend, is the Silverama Region 14 Arabian Championships. June 29th, Wednesday, my birthday. I keep saying that. I hope you've heard it enough. Have you heard it enough that it's ground in, dear?
Yeah.
My birthday, Wednesday, June 29th. Anyway, it's Cross Country Schooling Day, and it's a fundraiser this time for the Horse Park Foundation. It means that you can take your horse and actually ride around the horse park. Anywhere you want to go, you go, except on the steeplechase course. You can cut through it, though.
But have you got something on the vine and wine thing that they're doing, the charitable thing that they're doing over there? It's Monday. And starts at 5:30, I believe it said.
Oh, that's right, till 8:30.
5:30 till 8:30.
Wines on Vine.
Yeah, and it's $10.
We're
and they're having a wine tasting and a beer tasting. And
we're going.
As a matter of fact, they've got a restaurant there, and I didn't realize that. I want to go see it. I know exactly where it is. It's where the old Taylor Tire store used to be. You go and get your trucks work on. I've had cars in there before. But
can't not. Take your car in there anymore.
Well,
carcass. You can take your carcass.
It's the old vine. You make the
it's
right
the old vine.
The right.
Yeah, right.
Old yeah. vine. Yeah,
yeah
thank you, Rusty.
You get on Vine, you go across, you pass Rose, and take a right, bear to your right, and it's right up there on your right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you used to go there and do some have some screening done or something, you know, for.
I don't remember.
No, well.
I'm too young.
No, I know. I'm talking about for the farm, for the radio show. We had some artwork or something you had done up in there. Some outfit was.
Oh! What's the name of that printer place on Rose and High? Is it Lynn Blueprinting?
Lynn Imaging. Yeah, it's up in
there. Yeah, it's on the right there. Oh, yeah, they're real nice. They do a good job, too, and very reasonable. I know what you're talking about. Okay, Monday is the Farm Manager's Challenge Golf Club. No, I meant Challenge Cup Golf Scramble. 27th, it's at the University Club Golf Course. It's just a blast. It's to benefit KEMI, Kentucky Equine Management Internship, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, although it's just a blast. Kurt Ramsey, who's at the Oak Tree Division of Lane's End, is a co-chair. In case you don't remember this name or, you know, this number, that's where he is, 533-2291.
Yeah, let me give you the trainers who saddled winners in the last week. Let's see. Bobby Sturgeon has saddled two winners in last. This is since last week's show. Bobby Sturgeon had a couple. Scooter Hughes, B.G. Hughes, Byron G. Hughes had the big one. Rahi Strada won the $500,000 Colonial Turf Cup Stakes. And that thing's owned by Bob Courtney Jr. And Bob Sr. was out here today.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, bless
great.
His heart. Yeah. It was good, really good to see Bob.
Good.
And, yeah.
Excellent.
And anyway.
That'll put a little something in your step when you're in a.
There
nice
you, there
race
you go.
Like that.
Rahi Strada, I love that horse. He's the one that, when they train him, they back him up to the clocker stand, and then he just stands there, and he won't move. I mean, he just stands there and watches things. And, you know, I've seen horses work by him. They back up and go by him. Loose horse go by him. He doesn't give a damn, you know. I mean, when he's ready to train, you better get tied on because he trains. Okay, let's see. Helmut Jackson saddled the winner. John Booker. Jimmy Cargan. Scooter had another one. This one at Indiana Downs. Scooter Hughes. John Booker, another one. And this one at Mountaineer. Jimmy Cargan, another one. Tommy Short, saddle the winner. Oscar Modica. And last night, we had two winners at Indiana Downs, Tom Bergen and Wayne Mogie.
Okay, and if you want to listen to this on your iPhone, smartphone, iPad, poo pad, pot pad, I don't know, all that electronic junk, go to WLXG.com and get the app. Am I saying this right?
It's an iPhone app or just figure out any other way to listen.
Any other way to listen. You can get it on your computer anyway, or you can get it on your AM radio in your car. Also, go to UrsulaEllis.com, and this show will be put up sooner or later.
I want to thank Resi Duke for down here, and I think Mary Jane's down there, isn't she? Yeah. Great job, Mary Jane. Thank you. I don't know why I hollered. Do you hear me down there?
She's way down. Talk to you.
See you next week.